The gospel comes from John in the 21st chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." And they got out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards away. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard the boat and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. We could do it three times, but that's all right. "Peter, do you love me?" Yeah, thank you. I know that feeling Peter perhaps had. I've been told before that sometimes I'm not paying attention and it takes two or three times to men. Now maybe this is a reference to the three times that Peter denied knowing Jesus, but it's certainly there for emphasis. Three times this is asked of Peter, and three times, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my people. Our faith is built on stories from the Bible, stories from our lives. And today, these two stories that we have of Saul, then Paul, and Peter really are two of my favorite, two of my top 10 stories from the Bible. I read a devotion this past week from a retired minister, someone much older than us, though he didn't have gray hair in his picture. He said that he was really quite envious of the people who lived at the time of the book of Acts because they got all the good stuff. And he said, in reflecting in my life, I didn't really see any of those great miracles. Stories that this minister had from his ministry were, well, ordinary. Now, sure, the book of Acts was written some years after these stories took place, and the book of Acts was compressed and worked down into such a fine hue. Stories were told again and again and again that the good stuff was lifted up and the boring stuff was probably left aside. But the minister wondered nonetheless, why can't we have such an impactful ministry? And his conclusion is that maybe his ministry had impact, but it was just too soon to tell. And we just don't see it yet. These stories are important. Saul, that young, dynamic, dogmatic protector of the Jewish faith, saw what he felt was heresy known as the way, and he was going to punish it. He was going to root it out. He was no nonsense. Saul didn't play. He was the Joseph McCarthy of his age, knowing he was rooting out evil. And then, like being hit across the head with a 2x4. And just like that, he became Pete Seeger, or became Rachel Maddow. He was struck blind, and then he recovered his sight, and he went from one side of the spectrum to the other. He turned his life completely upside down and became a young and dynamic Christian. Now that's the power of God that can make a change in our lives. The disciples, well, they went fishing. That's what most of the disciples did. It wasn't like they went on a trip to the beach and Peter said, let's charter a boat. They fished for a living. I think this was Peter saying, let's get back to work. He probably didn't imagine he had much of a future in this the way ministry. Who knows? The disciples didn't recognize Jesus from his appearance or even by his voice. They wondered among themselves, to themselves, who is this person? They didn't recognize his voice. They didn't understand who they were looking at. until he took bread and he gave it to them. The text says he took bread and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is a communion story, recognizing our Lord and Savior not for what he was saying, but for what he was doing for them. Now, if this is all there was to the story, it would be a great story. But it's the second part that clinches it for me. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, then feed my sheep. When I was growing up, I had an uncle who would say, you know, Christianity is okay, but the problem with it is Jesus made it so darn complicated. And I thought, no, not really. No, Jesus was pretty clear with what he wanted, it seems to me. He didn't say form a committee. He didn't say let's debate theology ad infinitum. He didn't say let's build a big worship center. No. What Jesus said was feed my sheep. I believe that giving and volunteering to serve as an usher or to serve on a committee, all of these things are part of feeding the sheep. We don't all have to serve on a committee. We don't all have to run the soundboard. But some of us need to do those tasks. And we really would like to have some other helpers to run the soundboard. Shall I say it a third time? We really need volunteers who can help spare Rod from having to be here week after week after week after week to help run the soundboard. I think what we do here has impact, even when we don't always see it. This week was a wonderful week. The news about Minerva left us without words. A wonderful part of our ministry. The news that Oscar got last summer was amazing. Our work for justice and fairness for people who don't look like us or sometimes act like us can be amazing. Sharing the news about Minerva was fun. It's a happy part of the job. But I have to admit that most days are ordinary and routine. We don't seem to live in the age of great acts of faith. I don't know what age we live in. Watching and listening to our political leaders, we seem to do despicable pretty well. I don't know if we are more or less despicable than other ages, but we seem to do it well. Unfortunately, our calling as Christians is to transform this age, our lives, from despicable to something else, to hopeful, to graceful. And whether we get hit across the head with a 2x4 and told fly right, or if we see someone who looks familiar, maybe is saying things that sound familiar, but we don't recognize it first, but then we see later, that was Jesus. Or even if we occasionally have good news of great joy every now and again, and the rest of our lives seem to be ordinary and routine and normal, all of us are called to rise up and to follow Jesus. To rise up and follow Jesus. Amen.